You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3-4, as Corey has mentioned. If next Sunday we're starting a new sermon series, then that means this Sunday we are actually ending the series that we're in on our marital checkup. So if you have your Bibles, open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4, and you'll understand a little bit later why we are using this scripture for this particular sermon that we're preaching this morning that will bring this series of preaching about family and specifically about marriage to an end. Now, I realize, you realize we lost an hour's sleep last night. Do not try to get that hour back while I'm preaching this morning. Amen. Hey, Christian, how are you guys? Hi, Miss Amanda. Good to see y'all this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3-4. The Word of God said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." Father, we ask one more time for just your anointing as we both speak and we listen and we close out this sermon series with a sermon about being single again. Not single by choice, but single again by circumstance. I pray, Father, that our words will minister to this your people. And even those of us who right now do not find ourselves single again at this moment, help us just understand that one day it could possibly be us. But Father, each of us will probably minister to a family member, to a neighbor, to an associate, to a good friend, who might one day wake up and find themselves single again. So please help us. Maybe be able to help them with the wisdom and the counsel that you give us from your word this morning. It's in your precious, precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't even have words for the compassion I have in my heart this morning to close out this sermon series by talking about those of us who find ourselves, or one day will find ourselves, single again. Many of you will remember 4 years ago, we addressed this subject in the Dream Home series for the first time. So as I re-studied this week for this message, you know what I always do late Saturday night, and that's right, I get on the internet and I surf just to check out other preachers who've preached on this topic before. So when I put in my keywords, sermons on being single again by circumstance, and I hit the button, instantly a lot of sermons came up, and I always just hit the first one. And when I hit the first one, it said PDF file, single by circumstance. And guess who preached the sermon? That's right, me. Wow. Remember that time I did that and Mike Turner came up, one of our students here down in Texas now? I was just kind of blown out of the water, so I thought, well, I might ought to read that sermon again. And sure enough, I did. It just kind of encouraged me to know that I'm not going to say anything that I haven't said before. Except this time I've had a front row seat to see someone single again by circumstance. Many of us here this morning find ourselves single But many of us are single by choice. At this stage in our life, we're learning to live where we are in Singleville with who we are for the glory of God. Corey mentioned last week about that special gift, that special calling from God for those people who will not ever marry. But they'll be totally 100% devoted to the kingdom of Christ and to God. And wow, what you will do as a single person for God blows me away. Now, the Bible never pits marriage above singleness or singleness above marriage. But yet many of us realize we do not have that gift of singleness, where we will live the rest of our lives in a state of singleness, where we are with who we are for the glory of God. Sometimes folks wake up who know they do not have that gift and they realize that they are single again after enjoying marriage for many, many years. And they're not single by their choice, but they're single by circumstance. Now, please know I'm married. You know that. I have not experienced yet being single again by divorce or death. But I've been with many, 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 many families who have. And many of you who know my family personally know our family has experienced single again by circumstance. What I'd like to do is share what I've learned from God's word and from people who have walked this walk. Please. If you're here right now and you're just beginning your life in marriage, I know you can't ever imagine this would happen to you, but there are men and women sitting here this morning who never thought it would happen to them either. Please listen for your sake. But if you happen to be that spouse who lives the rest of your life and your spouse goes before you, please know, while this may not ever happen to you, you may have a parent, you may have a child, a neighbor, a friend, a work associate who one day will find themselves single again, either by divorce or by death. And it's so important in the Christian church that we counsel people wisely, but also reverently. I can't tell you how many times my dad has said to me, "But son, you just don't understand." And I have to say, "Dad, I know I don't understand." I know many times when you tell me how unfaithful your spouse has been, you think, "But Brother Ricky, you just don't understand." I understand I don't understand. But I know God does. And I just like to take some principles that I believe are founded on the Word of God and that I've seen people life out in their life as we talk about this morning and close out this series, being single again by circumstance. I'm going to give you 7 principles. Please write these down. They may not happen to you personally, but you may need them in the life of someone else. Or you may be here this morning and God's getting ready to prepare you for something that will literally change your life. Everybody ready? Number one, if I find myself one day single again, here's one of the first principles I think we must follow. We must give ourselves time to get off the emotional roller coaster we're going to be on. Roller coasters are fun at amusement parks, but they are not fun when you find yourself single again. There is nothing amusing about the emotional ups, downs, twists, turns. You're going to discover when you find yourself single again. Many times you're not going to know if your life's right side up or if your life's upside down. All you're going to know is for a certain period of time, you're going to be hit by emotion after emotion after emotion after emotion. About the time you just come out a twist of one emotion, you're going to find yourself in the middle of another emotion. And when that levels out, sometimes you're going to find yourself hit with two, three, or four emotions at the same time. And this roller coaster just goes on and round and round and round. And you get to the place where you wonder, will it ever stop? I promise you, it will stop. But here's what you got to do. And here's what you got to do with the people you love. You've got to give them time to get off this roller coaster. It usually starts with shock. You just can't believe your spouse is gone. Whether it's divorce or whether it's death. That shock is initially going to give way to denial. And no matter how real it feels, and no matter what you know to be true, as that shock begins to lessen, you're going to deny, and you're going to live in denial that your marriage is really coming to an end, or your marriage has just ended. And that denial, oh, it's going to give way to anger. And even though you're a Christian, there's going to be a time in your life when you are going to be really, really, really angry. You who, when you got married, believed you would be married the rest of your life, now find yourself single again, and that anger is going to lead to the emotion of blame, and you're going to play the blame game, and you're going to blame everybody you can, starting with God. And you never thought you'd do that. And it's going to lead to a tremendous sadness, a sadness that you could never imagine. A sadness that you can't believe anybody else has ever experienced but you. So it's going to be a little easy for you to tell those of us who have not experienced this, you don't know what it's like. And even when you surround yourself with people who've been where you've been, you're going to believe your situation is unique. It's different. And I caution. Before you get off this roller coaster, that sadness can lead to depression. You said, Brother Ricky, yes, a believer can be depressed. But trust me, if you continue your walk with God, if you continue to surround yourself by the church and your friends who are Christian, I promise you, this roller coaster will end one day, and you'll step off of it, and you will accept the truth that your marriage is over, and you're going to learn to live single again. And you won't just survive, you won't just exist, you will live again. Secondly, you must grieve the death of your marriage. Now, I want you to hear this. It took me a lot of years to figure this out. But when you lose a spouse by death, it's natural to grieve the death of your spouse, but you'll not only grieve the death of your spouse, you'll also grieve the death of your marriage. And many of us don't understand that. Now, when we go through a divorce, we grieve the death of the marriage, wishing our spouse, who's alive, was dead. You're still on that roller coaster when you're thinking that and wishing that. But here's what must happen when we find ourselves single again, whether it's divorce or death. We must grieve the death of not just the person, but of the marriage. Especially if you've been raised in this church, because if you've been raised in this church, you know what we believe. We believe that the basis of home, the basis of family, is that husband-wife relationship. And we teach that it's the primary relationship. All others are secondary. And now all of a sudden, we or someone we love has lost that relationship, that primary relationship of their life, and we must allow them to grieve that. So many of us try to get them to get over it. Can I ask you this question? Have you ever thought about how hard it would be to get over the loss of your primary relationship? So here's what I want to say. In the grieving process, we must allow people to get through it before they can ever get over it. Does that make sense? So please quit telling people to get over it. I know you mean well, but they can't. All they can do when this emotional roller coaster stops is just get through it. But in getting through it, they'll get over it. Secular psychologists say for every year invested in a relationship that's deep, it takes half that time. Did y'all hear that? Now, not knocking secular psychologists, but secular psychologists approach life without the hope of the gospel. But even when you survey Christian psychologists and Christian counselors will tell you that for every year invested in that relationship of marriage, if it ends by divorce or by death, it takes at least a month per year to grieve and recover. That means if you've got 20 years invested in a marriage, about 2 years. Brother Ricky's always said to anyone who goes through a divorce or suffers the death of a spouse, it's going to take you at least a year to 2 years of grieving and recovering. Now, please hear me. Now, I say this kindly. I'm not telling you that in 2 years you're going to be ready to be married again. I'm telling you it takes that long just for you to be ready to entertain even being with anyone else. I say this lovingly. I say this kindly. If you and I wake up tomorrow and find ourselves single again, we don't even need to consider being in the vicinity of the opposite sex intimately or closely for a couple of years. We're just not ready. We have to grieve. I think we got to grieve on three levels. We got to grieve emotionally. We got to grieve mentally, and we got to grieve spiritually. You'll grieve physically, mentally. Can you imagine waking up your spouse, your husband is gone. He's divorced you or he's died. And all of a sudden, you're asking this question mentally. How can I make it on my job? You just realize you never had a job. And now you got to raise the kids. You got to grieve that. You got to grieve the thought, how am I going to get all four where they're supposed to be? And all of a sudden, I mean, he was never any good, but at least he was a taxi driver to the kids. And you got all those questions in your mind. I do not know this firsthand, but I've seen it with several families. Emotionally, now to be single again and to walk into that bedroom and it be a king size or a queen size or a double bed. And now emotionally, I'm going to sleep single. I'm now going to cook for just me. As much as we prize singles in our society, nothing in our society is geared towards singles. And especially single again. Emotionally, you go to your favorite restaurant for the first time, and the smallest table you can get is a table for two. And you already believe everybody's looking at you. And the only place in the restaurant where there's a table for one is at the bar. And there's no way you can have privacy there because they put this chair right beside you and they put this chair right beside you. And I've now got to navigate that. Spiritually, I met my wedding vows. Till death do me part, and my spouse left me. As spiritual as I think I am, there's probably a part of me that's going to grieve that with God, and I'm just going to ask God, why? Why, God? And there's a really good chance I could blame him. There's a really good chance I could be mad at him. If I don't grieve properly, I promise you, the 36 years with Salisa is not going to be enough if she dies before this year's over. We have dreamed about being, they don't do it anymore, but on Paul Harvey's Tournament of Roses and being that couple because we got married at 19 and 17. We could live together 80 years and me be 99 and her 97. Wow. And now I have to grieve that I got less than half the time I really wanted with her. We must grieve. Thirdly, we've got to forgive. If the marriage ends in divorce, I'm sure there's a lot of forgiving you would have to do during the marriage. But when it finally ends and you find yourself single again, you must forgive your spouse. Now, please hear me. Forgiveness doesn't mean when you forgive them, you're saying they were right to do what they did. No. You forgive, and when you forgive, you're saying, no matter what they did to cause our marriage to be dead, I'm going to be right. And I'm going to do right because I am right with God. And therefore, the right thing to do is to forgive. And when I forgive, I'm not releasing them to go out and live and be happy. I'm releasing me to continue to live and be happy and to be godly. I don't forgive my spouse in the divorce for their sake. I forgive my spouse for my sake and God's sake and the kids' sake. Because if I don't forgive, I'll still be blaming them for what I'm doing 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. And I'll think they ruined my life when in reality it was not they who ruined my life, but it'll be I who ruined my life because I didn't forgive. Matthew chapter 18 clearly teaches that if you've been forgiven by God, you must forgive those who sin against you. And if you don't, God delivers us to the tormentors. Which means what? Me not forgiving my spouse doesn't torment them, it torments me. You can't live free until you forgive. You must forgive. Now, for those of us who hadn't been through this, I want to put this in a new light. Because as I've talked to family person after family, church member after church member, I counsel people outside this church occasionally. Here's what I know. When that marriage ends in divorce, the person who's been sinned against feels like they're forgiven a murderer. Because you know what that other person did? They killed my marriage. They're a killer. Cold-blooded killer. Many of you have never thought of it that way, have you? They killed a marriage. Can I just ask you this? How hard would it be for you to forgive somebody who maybe caused the death of one of your children? That's what we're talking about here. When we talk about the union of a man and a woman. And it ending with divorce. You must forgive. Now this is going to sound strange, but here's what I've discovered too. Even when there's a death of a spouse, you must forgive your spouse. You say, Brother Gill, what are you talking about? I can't tell you how many times, especially from a lady's side. All of a sudden, he's gone. And you're left with all the bills. And all his bad choices. You got to let that go. You got to forgive. All of a sudden, you're the man, and your whole world revolved around your wife. And then all of a sudden, all those things you wanted when she wanted, now you're left with too much, and you blame her. You got to forgive. You got to let that go. Fourthly, after I get off that emotional roller coaster and I grieve this and I forgive, I must look in the mirror of God's word and see me. Now I want to say this. Please don't be mad at Brother Ricky. I believe your spouse was as bad as you said your spouse was. Some of you are married to the worst person that's ever been born. I agree with you. Okay? Everybody hear me say that? It was all their fault. I agree. But listen, while your spouse was as bad as you thought your spouse was, when you look into the mirror of God's word after divorce, please note this, you were not as perfect as you thought you were. Not many, but a few of those things that caused them not to get along with you and to leave were true. Yes, somebody else may have handled it differently. But now is the time because you know you are not gifted with the gift of singleness. You know you'll probably not spend the rest of your life single. So you must now look into the mirror of God's word and decide all of those Adamic tendencies that you got from your mom and your dad and your grandparents, you're going to change and you're going to stop. So while you forgive them, you repent of anything and everything in your life. And for the first time, now that you are alone to keep from being lonely, you're going to walk with Christ, and Christ's going to take you on a journey in which you're going to grow in a way that you've never grown before, probably. And here's what I've observed. I've just observed this. It's true. I've never seen a person go through a divorce and not change physically. You just change yourself. What I'm suggesting to you is not just change yourself physically, change yourself emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually as well. So that now you're not looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, but now as I live single again, whether it be by divorce or death, I'll now be Miss Right or Mr. Right. And now if God's will is to bring somebody into my life who I will spend the rest of my life together with, I will be ready. And we won't have to spend 5 or 6 years me going through all of that yuck that I had to go through in my first marriage, because now I'll be right. Fifth, focus on life, not death. Divorce and death of a spouse has a way of causing the person who's left to focus only on death and not life. Death literally means to be separate, and there's this sense to separate ourselves. There's this sense in which I say I can't, or I don't know how. And what I suggest to you is we replace the I can't with I can, and we replace I don't know how with I can learn how. And I focus on the one person who is not dead, and that's me and God. And I focus on life. And as I focus on life, my recovery, my healing, it takes place as I walk with God and I fellowship with Him through His Word, and I surround myself with my church family and my family and my friends. Was that five? Number six, believe God has a plan for your life still. And trust me, it's not maybe what God's going to do when He brings another person into your life. It's what He's going to do in your life right now as a single again person. I want to say something that's true that everybody's told me. Everybody's always told me this. When I come in to help, Brother Ricky, you don't understand. I do understand. I don't understand. I know that. But I've had enough front row seats that I almost think I do understand. And I think because I've only had the front row seat, not the seat, sometimes I'm not subjective, I'm objective. Because I can analyze what everybody's been through and I can give you some real good counsel. But here's what I know. I don't know. Here's why I love 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If I ever find myself single again, or if I ever find myself single by divorce or by death, I'm going to go to this passage. Because this passage tells me that when I find myself in a state of affliction, God's going to comfort me. I will get comfort. And you know why He's going to comfort me? He's going to comfort me because there are going to be some other people that is going to be in my pattern of life that are going to need the comfort He's given me. And so He's going to allow me to go through whatever I go through so that He can comfort me. And then the comfort I have, I can now share it with somebody else who's going through what I went through. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Which means what? Praise God. And when some of you say to me, Brother Ricky, you don't understand, I can just say this. But let me tell you somebody in our church who does understand, because they've been right where you've been. I can't tell you how there's a man in this church who attends the third service that's been where my dad's been. And what a blessing he's been to my dad. I can't tell you the people who've been through affairs that are now giving advice to people who's in an affair. I can't tell you about the people who've been comforted from their divorce, who are now living single again, victoriously for God, and they're being used by God to bring comfort to someone who's just in the beginning stages of a divorce. You have to believe this. God still has a plan for your life. I do not believe He caused your spouse to divorce you. I do not believe He caused the affair. I do not believe He caused the temptation. I do not believe He caused the adultery or the abandonment or the abuse. But I know He had to allow it. And in allowing it, He allowed it because He had a plan for you. And He still does. Don't you ever listen to someone tell you you'll not be whole until you get married again. No, you must be whole while you're single again so that when you do get married, you can be the person you need to be and they need you to be. And then finally, in closing, because of the gospel, I can say this. You only have to be you for the rest of your life. And you being used enough. I'm speaking specifically to all of those people in this church who find themselves single again, and you got 2, 3, or 4 kids, and your spouse has totally abandoned you and the kids, and all of a sudden, you don't think it's enough. You've heard the statistics. There's a young lady that attends the early service. She wasn't here this morning. Who I have in my mind right now, a lady whose husband left her when she was young, and her children and her family never became a statistic. Her children are now fully functioning, mature adults in society. Do you know why? Because she accepted that she could just be who she was, and she's been the best she can be. And she never tried to be the dad. She just tried to be the mom. And in being the mom, it was enough. This is not a pep talk. I believe with all my heart, if we're going to have children, we need to go into child raising with the belief that we're going to have a husband and wife for the rest of our life. Because children need moms and daddies. But when sin torpedoes or blows over the house of marriage, you're enough. Just be you. Don't try to be the dad. Just be you. Now, I'll be honest with you. You got to be the best you can be. And can I be honest with you? You ain't going to get no days off. Your personal weekends away, they're gone. Your vacation time with the girls, it's over. It's full time now. See, here's the luxury of marriage. Salisa can take a day off and it doesn't ruin the kids. I can take a day off and it doesn't ruin our kids. Can't tell you how many times Salisa had to cover when I couldn't do it. You know what I'm talking about? I can't tell you how many times when she has the headache and she's down for a day, she thanks me. It's going to be hard on those days. Because you ain't going to have him or you're not going to have her. I'm not going to have her again in those situations. But here's what I got to trust. I got to trust and you got to trust. If we find ourselves single again one day, that I will be enough for the kids and the grandkids. And can I tell you what will happen? If you're a young girl and your husband dies and leaves you with 4 kids and you're 27 years of age, your parents and his parents will take an interest in the grandkids that they wouldn't have taken before. And you'll have friends. You'll have neighbors. So as a young woman, you're worried about the male influence in your son's life. There'll just be some single men who rise up in the church And you'll be surprised who God will bring into your life. Not necessarily as a spouse, but as the helper you need to do what God's called you to do. And that's be the best mom or be the best dad you can be. Please, let's hurt for folks who are single again, but let's not pity folks who are single again. We serve a God who put his son on a cross to make things right that sin devastated and made so wrong and brought so many horrible consequences to the world. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I know I don't understand to the depth that I know some ladies understand this morning. Because there are several ladies here that I love who found themselves single again by circumstance. And there's some men too. But Father, I pray that what you've let me learn from them, I can share with others. Because one day, most of us who are married and know we do not have the gift of singleness are going to find ourselves single again. At least half of us. And then that don't even take into consideration the divorces. When our world got shook, when we couldn't believe he did what he did or she did what she did. So Father, please, as we go into 1 John, help us as a church respect and give honor to those who find themselves single again. In no way are they now not important. They just like us still have a life to live for your honor and your glory. And we believe you have a purpose for all our lives. Father, it's in the precious, precious name of your Son we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.